stories about blackjack this week.
Thursday night at 7 on KRVS.
What is this strange and wondrous music? Is it jazz?
Is it blues?
Is it hillbilly?
Join us at Freetown Radio, where the lines dividing genre are often blurred or don't exist at all.
That's Freetown Radio, coming up Friday afternoon at 3, right after American Roots.
He took me by the arm.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castillo. My guests I have in the studio today, I think we're probably going to be laughing throughout the... I've just really met, well, one of them, but I've already been laughing, so it's good. But my guests today are Jacob White and Paul Bruyette, who many of the listeners in the area may know them from their show that they do on AOC Community Media called Jacob and Paul Off the Wall. But they're involved in a lot of different things. They have been involved. We're going to talk about a music video. They do some movie shorts, some film shorts, I know. But the thing that I love that I have been watching with their show is they really seem to get the community involved. There's always somebody coming in the door. There's people in the audience. So today we're going to find out about these two characters and see how that show got going. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you so much for having
us.
Hello there, and thanks.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Well, first, let's talk about the show first, since that's how some of our folks out there might know the two of you. And for those who don't, might get some new listeners and watchers for you on that. But how did that show get started for the two of you? And it might take it back to how the two of you met.
Well, We both have a different version of this, and both are right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that usually happens in couples.
We and history.
Yeah.
Our bromance is timeless.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and...
Absolutely. I'll give you the corrected version. Yes, this is Jacob. And I met Paul a few years ago at a Nissan dealership here in town for a car show. A friend of mine.
I believe it was.
It was 08. My buddy's car was an 06, but it was still relevant.
Ah.
And we were there. I've accompanied my friend Steve to a few car shows.
Okay.
He actually had a poster up of this movie that he had just finished, and I think we got to talk
at the car show?
Yes.
Yeah, my car was actually the co-star in the movie with me. It was called Cutter Mantooth P.I. And
it was called what?
Cutter Mantooth P.I.
Okay.
And I actually still have a couple of DVDs. I'll give you one.
Yeah.
The car was sort of... I'd set up the car as a bit of an advertisement to let people know that our premiere was going to be coming up. And he saw that, and we got to talking about media and such. And
exactly.
You saw the post. The poster grabbed you.
Yes.
So some good graphics, or...?
Oh, well, it was a really cool... It was an eye-catching poster, but... The movie, I still had no idea that, you know, it was just a guy I met at a dealership, you know, but this movie was, you'll see it, because he does have a box of DVDs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really good. It's clean.
Oh, thanks.
It's crisp. The director, editor, Brandon McLeod, just polished it to a shine. It's actually something to watch.
So the two of you then got talking about, you said, hey, what's this film all about? How are you connected?
Yes, well, I think we connected over cars,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But we maybe we enjoyed the rapport. You know, we definitely can talk. So I guess pretty quickly after we met, we had said, you know, we got to do a show at some point. But that at some point was far flung, and
it was every single time we saw each other. When are we going to do a show?
Yes.
When are we going to get
for
something?
For 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? So all right, you had found out, Jacob, that Paul had done this film. But so what made you think Jacob could do a show?
Well, he's
I'm always curious how those ideas come together, you know?
He suggested AOC to me as a venue to show the film.
Ah.
And when I found out that he was affiliated with AOC, we started talking about we should get on there. And
you have to understand that I, not to say that Paul hasn't been a fabulous host, but I've said this to a number of people, let's do a show, come on my show. But it was just a, you know, a nebulous thought that we did every now and then, but I didn't have a show. We just had a studio that we knew we could use, AOC. You know,
yeah.
It's sitting there.
So do you work for at AOC
yes,
too?
Yes, I actually work nights over there, which is why we can go on almost every Sunday, even when we're not open.
Ah,
we'll still, you know, go in and get set up.
And do you help other people with production work and things, right?
Yes.
So what's your background, Jacob?
Well,
how'd you get involved in that?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Let's get a good answer.
I would prefer to deflect. I like Mad Men, and there was a man with shoes, and he danced.
Yeah, that's right.
But I came into town working, moved to Lafayette in 2008, working on a local political campaign. And afterwards, a friend of mine, Stephen Handwerk, and I consulted with him on a few projects, and... Well, we got involved at AOC because of the campaign. You know, we wanted to go over, and we were just seeing what different, you know, outlets there were. And we ended up, I just ended up finding out that they needed a night person the next year in March or April. And, you know, had time.
But your background, though, I mean, you had done video work,
yes.
You had done film.
Okay. Yes, I had done some video and film work after high school,
okay.
Actually with my friend Steve, who is the guy that we met, or rather that with whom I
at
met
the car
Paul.
Show.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And really, my learning curve started at AOC, and it's been great.
Okay.
Anybody can learn over there. Everyone's really helpful. Everyone wants to impart
knowledge. It's a wonderful facility for that,
yes.
Isn't it? You know, I mean, I can't tell you the number of people I have met who have talked to the same thing you just did about that was my learning curve there, you know?
Yeah, it's a gem, and people keep noticing it. It's getting...
And now they have their new location they're at, too.
Oh, that it's wonderful. Rosa Parks Center.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And that's
beautiful
here in Lafayette.
Facility. Yes, it's at 101 Jefferson,
yeah.
Although you can't tell that to the FedEx people because that doesn't exist in their records.
It doesn't, okay.
But it is. It's
but
there.
It really is there, okay. So let's get them directed correctly. So you guys then talked about let's do a show. What's been your background, Paul?
Well, as far as when I was a kid, I actually did a show similar to what we do with my cousin. It never was on TV, of course, but we used to...
You're like Wayne's World, but you didn't get on the access.
Right. We used to just roll camera, get my brother to be our camera guy, and we did fishing shows.
And he would actually film it, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have a couple
cool.
of them. We would do fishing shows and fake interviews and stuff.
How old were you?
Oh, probably 15, 16. Actually, we actually did a couple of shows even after while I was in the Air Force. I'd come back on leave and we'd break out a camera and just talk back and forth. And
really?
I mean, I'll have to show you some of those. It was really just silliness, but okay.
No,
I guess
but that's training, though.
That's right.
Yeah, it was, I guess, a stepping stone. So I like doing it. And
so did you ever go behind the camera when you were that age, or did you always, you were the entertainment guy?
Even with the movie, filming of Cutter Mantooth, I very seldom get behind the camera. I tell the people the shot I'd like to get and just let them do their magic.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about that film.
Mm-hmm.
That you made that how long ago?
It premiered in 2009.
And was that your first kind of jump into making films, whether they're short or...
Well, I was driving one day and I've made a couple of music videos and things like that. And
so you already had done that?
Yeah, just, I mean, really... like the stuff that never got aired anywhere, just okay. making stuff for ourselves.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I just said I want to make a movie that's movie quality, not something that looks like, you know, we filmed it in the backyard. And I said, I wonder if I can do this. So a friend of mine and I sat, it was Jason Fry, we sat in my recording studio and pretty much drank whiskey and talked about what this movie was going to be. We hashed it out in about 3-4 hours of to get a basic storyline.
And now did he have any involvement in writing or?
Co-writer, basically.
Okay, so he was interested in that part of it.
Yeah,
okay.
Until it got to a certain point. We both wrote until it got to a certain point, then it was up to me to take what we wrote and make a script out of it.
Yeah.
And so I went with that. And it's 40 minutes long. It's not extremely long, but it took about 4 years of, you know, when we could get everyone together kind of stuff. I look older at the end of the movie than the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but you were in it.
Yes, I was the main character.
Okay.
And it's a detective movie. I sort of loosely based it on an episode of Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
So.
Did you have the mustache? Didn't
no.
you have a mustache on
no,
Magnum
same,
P.I.? The little goatee. Yeah, yeah. For those of you who are listening on the radio, not on TV, since we're not on TV, he does have a goatee. He's sporting one. Watch him on
soul patch.
Yeah. So now, have you entered? You've made some other things since then.
Music videos, not much though.
Did you do any like short films? I thought you had talked about
3-minute movies.
Yeah, the 3-minute.
Yeah.
And that's came out of AOC.
Yes,
the 3-minute.
That's
minute.
Another.
Okay.
Yes, I think
there's one coming up.
That's right.
So
it's there's a little thank you party for AOC volunteers and members Thursday, and Friday we're giving out cameras.
I'm in
this
one.
The weekend to throw something together. It's actually you get 3 plot points: a person, a place, and a thing. Which are drawn.
No, this
randomly.
Isn't the 3-minute thing. This is, or it is.
Yes.
Ah,
it's recurring. It happens.
Because now Gina and Matt Hanchy, won 1 year.
That's right. They've won. A lot of the regulars have finally won.
Yeah. Okay. So to explain the process again, what happens?
Well,
with that?
Okay, you show up before the weekend
and
really gets going.
And who can show up?
Well, okay, if you're not a member of AOC, it's $9.
Okay.
And you need a team of 3.
Okay.
If you're a member, it's $3.
All
and
right.
We'll provide you with a camera, or if you, a lot of people at this point have their own. We give you plot points, a person, place, and thing drawn at random, you know, Big Bad Wolf, an apple orchard, and a train station. Or no, that's 2 places, a feather pin.
What was it for that one? Big Bad Wolf,
I
apple orchard.
I think that's actually what it was. I don't know
it
how
was,
I remember
and
that.
It was a treasure chest.
A treasure chest, that's right.
Do you know it's similar? Are you familiar at all with the 24-hour plays that they do in theater?
Yeah, where they have 24 hours to write
to write
and learn
and
one.
Yes. It's kind of a similar concept in
it
terms
is.
Of
and
how it
actually,
starts out.
Artmosphere does something similar. I think it's called 5-3-2-1 or something like that, 1-2-3-4. And, musicians show up and they kind of get paired off or grouped off, and they have a night to write a song.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's go back to the AOC one now, the 3-minute.
Yes.
So then people are given their plot points and... And the 3 people that you talk about, the 3, that's all who's involved in filming and acting?
Actually,
no.
And there are very few constraints. We had one win at one time where people spent, you know, quite a bit of money that weekend. You can do whatever you like with it, and you don't have to follow the plot points. Because the people who are involved, the people who make the movies, are the ones that are judging. Everyone
Got
gets
it.
3... We figured out a routine that I am blanking on, but it's you get 3 votes, and I don't think they're weighted. I think you just get, you can vote for your favorite 3.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It seems to have worked out.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever done that?
Yes. Yeah. I've done a few. We actually, the first one that I did was super self-referential. That's a theme in my movies. And we were just talking about, you know,
let's say that again. Super
movie,
self-referential.
Yes,
is that a real word? Self-referential.
Yes, self-referential, as in
say that 3 times.
I could, but that would take up more airtime. What we did was we sat around a table and filmed this, and this was the idea that we came up with the idea, and then we said, well, we'll shoot us coming up with the idea, and then we'll cut to. You know, you going out to get this shot, and then we cut to that, and you know, and you'll go and you'll run and do this, and we cut to that, and
yeah,
it's art, so you know,
it is
might not be good art.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, you may think that, but I think it...
It helps me to keep going if I think
there
that.
There you go.
If I start to think my art is good, it's downhill.
Oh, it's good for you to always have something to keep striving for. I haven't gotten there yet, therefore, got it. Now, you have done the three-minute films, Paul.
About four of them so far, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, we've done a few of them. Haven't won yet. But
that's right.
So can the person who is part of the team putting it together also be in it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So that doesn't matter.
The one we did was our three-man team were the actors. We were the only three in it.
Okay.
One of the ones we did.
All right.
That one was the one we filmed some stuff at the airport in a hangar.
Hmm.
It was pretty action-packed.
You had to get permission.
Well, I work over there, so it was just a little quick shot in the old PHI hangar. But
got it.
Okay. Yeah, it was like a device and a digital display counting down.
Yeah.
It was actually, I think it was like a 3-minute thing, and it counted down to the end of the movie.
Right.
Now, have the two of you ever worked on one of those together?
Not until this weekend.
I'm going out of town. You missed it again.
There
going
you go.
To Disney World.
Really?
For the first time.
All right. That'll be an experience for you.
It will be an experience.
Take your camera.
I was just going to say that.
Take my camera, please.
Take your camera. Paul, I want to go back, though, to the three-minute films.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any stipulation on how many people can be in the film?
The three-person team is the core team. That's the people who are going to win the three prizes if the team wins.
Yeah.
You can have 50 people in it, but, like, for instance, myself, Brandon, and my cousin Ben were our crew. If we would have won,
it's good to have relatives, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
He actually helped film Cutter Man Tooth quite a bit as well.
Okay. Yeah.
He was our gaffer, is it?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
One, like, holding, yeah. So anyway, the prizes would have gone to us three, but we could have had 25 people in the
production.
So that's how it works.
Okay, all right, and that's something that's sponsored by AOC that
yes.
they put on. Yeah, that's it's a fabulous organization over there, and for people that have never been there, they need to go check it out.
It is. I was thinking we were actually talking the other day because I made little radio shows. I think a lot of us did things like that. I didn't realize he had made video shows when he was younger, but I think a lot of people do that sort of thing, and they don't realize AOC. Even if you don't want to become a member, you can just turn in something that you think is great or not great, and they'll play it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah. And then I've seen, too, when you were talking about the cameras, I've been at, I don't know if it was like a Downtown Alive or a Bach Lunch or something, and people were sent out with some of the cameras from there doing some interviews and, like,
That's right.
Crowd shots.
There was actually one of the coolest things that we've been a part of in the past couple years. Givers did a Downtown Alive. It was a Downtown Alive. And we had all of our cameras out. We just handed out
everything.
Oh, and
that was at a Givers. Okay.
Yes. And they.
Was that in Park Sans Souci?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay.
Which really worked a lot better. We wouldn't have been able to get the shots we did if we had done it at the large international stage.
So what was done? Because I don't have cable. So what was done?
Well, then you are wiser than we are.
We don't have access to it, to the community show.
We don't have
access to cable.
We're going to have to get a dish and start broadcasting.
Yeah, that's right. So what was done with those then afterwards?
Well, Sam White, the inimitable editor, Sam White at AOC, Samuel, I think he prefers, he took, a 28-track multi-track rather they call it, and he synced every single one of those cameras, and he.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think what he did was
And then it was shown on the station.
Yes, okay. It was. I think what he did was he lowered some of the qualities of the smaller cameras, so that you had, you could see that they were just from all different points of view, and a couple people had fish eyes, and it was just. It was like a hive mind.
I'd like to see that, actually.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen it.
Nope. I'd like to check it out if we can one day.
Yeah. To what that came to being after.
I was there. I was at that Downtown Live.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool that people have the opportunity to do that.
Very cool.
And to kind of get more familiar with the cameras and.
Well, and now they have an app that you can get to where you can sync your phones up, and someone can direct. Everyone can have their video running. And someone can, on their phone or, tablet device, can actually direct a show can go to this camera, this camera, this camera, this camera.
Oh, that's cool.
And stream it, yes.
Oh, how nice is that?
Yeah, it's getting cooler and cooler.
Yeah, and everything that we use now is getting smaller and smaller.
Well, that will only last a few more years because of the atomic scale, but yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, that we can thank
Wait, are you being funny right now?
No. Oh, I mean, I hope I'm also being funny. I want to be informative.
Yeah, no, but explain that.
Well, okay, the miniaturization of electronics we can thank to space flight, to having to shave weight to get all that we need up in space. But there's a limit to how small things can get. And right now are these little nanoprocessors that they're starting to make. They're atomic. They're only, you know, they're atoms.
Yeah.
And so in about, you know, 900 more doubles, we're going to be done doubling. We can't go any smaller. And so then we're going to have to, I don't know, let's make light into a particle and use it.
Okay.
Oh, wait, it already is.
All right. Wow. All right, well, on that note.
Wow, how do I follow that?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Music. Generally, this is where we'd follow it with music. Cecil, we're going to listen to the cut from Paul's CD. But now, Paul, this cut that you picked out, Bare Feet,
mm-hmm.
You write music?
Yes.
You play music?
Yes. I sing and play drums. I have a heavy rock original band called Ground Zero, and we don't play much anymore. It's kind of hard to get everybody together, but I jam at my house. I have a recording studio.
Did you play drums as a kid?
I started at about 15.
Okay.
I had a snare drum.
Same time you were doing the films.
It. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I kind of am doing the same thing I've always done.
Yeah.
I haven't changed.
You haven't grown since you were 15.
Nope.
You haven't matured. Isn't that something? That was your...
I found out everything I wanted to do then and just kept doing it.
Oh, that's kind of sad, Paul. This song... Tell us about this song.
That's just, it's a fictional story about taking a road trip to a sandbar and camping. Just you and a girl, and it's just a fun little song.
All right, let's listen. We're going to take a little break. Listen to the song Bare Feet by Paul Bourrier.
Summer, we're driving down I-10. You got your bare feet on the dashboard of my Mercedes-Benz. You were looking pretty, that bikini fit just right. Looking forward to that first beer in a campfire summer night. Pretty skies and pretty eyes, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be with you for the rest of my life. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do just to spend it all with you. Sand between our toes, we're the best of friends. Dancing to the radio, my Mercedes-Benz. Moonlight was shining, it danced upon your hair. You were just my happy girl, we didn't have a care, no. Pretty skies and pretty eyes, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be with you for the rest of my life. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do just to spend it all with you. Thank you.
rest of my life. Well, there ain't nothing I wouldn't do just to spend it all with you. The weekend had to end. One thing still stands. Your little toe prints on the windshield of my Mercedes Benz.
All right, that was Bare Feet by Paul Bruyette, who is one of my guests here today. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette in Lake Charles. And make sure to check out the website. All kinds of great things going on the website. There's a new one, too, new website. You can check out all the programs, listen to podcasts, listen to shows from a few weeks back, even if you missed. Great place to get caught up on the news. International through to local. And also, a great place to post events if you have things going on in the area. Great calendar on there. But my guests today are Jacob White and Paul Bruyette, who have the show Jacob and Paul Off the Wall on a AOC Community Media station here in based out of Lafayette. That was a beautiful song. You have a very nice voice, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah, very nice. Not the hard rock that you talked about.
No, that's a totally different level. This whole CD is basically like poetry that I wrote. And
yeah, so you write poetry. You guys are very talented, the two of you. Yeah.
The poetry is kind of like lyrics in waiting for the most part.
That's right.
I'll pick one out and write some. I don't play guitar per se, but I know enough chords and such that I can put it mainly together, and then I get somebody for real, like say Brandon McLeod on that track, to come in and give it some flavor.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, lyrics in waiting, that's poetry.
That phrase.
That's good.
See, I know. And this is what you need to be writing this down right now. Lyrics in waiting. And I
don't
write.
There's so many notebooks full of good stuff.
That's right. And I don't write, so I won't rip it off.
Okay.
I don't have that talent. You know, we kind of strayed away a bit getting some of the history for the two of you, but let's go back to the show. What was the idea for that when you said, you know, the two of you were like, hey, let's do a show? How would you describe the show for people that haven't seen it? Because I have my impression.
Well, it's a call-in show where we try to invite on some sort of public interest guest or someone that's in the building and wants to come on the other side of the fourth wall. And it's...
See, now go back to that term, the fourth wall.
Oh, yes. Well, the fourth wall is your television screen.
Okay.
The fourth wall is what separates you from... what's going on, and when you break the term breaking the fourth wall is where you reference that you're talking to a camera, or you reference that talk shows do it all the time.
Got it.
You have to, because you're talking to the audience.
Yeah.
But plays usually don't. A soliloquy.
But that's like on shows
wall.
like on The Office.
Exactly.
They
yes.
break.
And they do
that.
It constantly. They look at
Got
you.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right.
The way,
so keep going.
Okay. Well,
either one of you.
Well, the best thing about the show, the positive thing is it's another outlet. I mean, that's how I look at it in its best light. It's another outlet for people to, you know, get the message out, get whatever their personal issues are, whatever they're doing. And we try to stay as non-controversial as is still funny.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's very community involvement. Like I said, from the call-in, but to people being there,
yep.
to your guests, to...
That's
ahead,
that's
Paul.
By design. We call it Acadiana's show that we are hosts of. You know, let anybody who wants to come on and say... It's an open forum variety show. Art, entertainment, music, basically anything. We've had everything on the show from a hula hoop off... Which
That's
Jacob lost.
I lost.
Yeah.
That girl was really good.
Who was it? Do you remember her name?
Ariel Bradley.
Oh, you know, there was a lot of young women in the area who really got into hula hoop, probably. I think I was at CITE back then.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
But I remember also, and it was like, whoa, look at all these hula hoopers.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're good.
That's too bad you lost.
Well I won't say I threw the bout, but I also won't say I'm not ready for that rematch.
And and she's not here to defend herself, so, you know, we can't.
I'll be gentle.
Yeah.
We had, one time we had my cousin who owns the Vertical Bar, which is a pole fitness studio over by Red's.
Okay.
She actually brought one of the portable poles in and had Jacob and I do some exercise routines, like pull-ups and things, and Jacob was... that he won.
Yeah. That he, yeah. Okay.
So, well, it wasn't my first time.
Yeah.
So that's where I get the anything goes kind of. That's why it's called Off the Wall.
Yeah, but you also, I mean, you guys feed off of. It seems like you feed off that energy of the people that are there,
yes,
too, in the audience.
It wouldn't be. We wouldn't be able to do it if we didn't have the. It's what Jimmy Page calls the magic of the audience.
Yeah,
You're co-creating. You know.
Yeah.
What's the point? You know, or like Neruda or the Cortazar, you know, the Italo Calvino, you know, the guys who started writing, that's that self-referential stuff where they start saying, you know, this doesn't exist without you, the reader.
Yeah, yeah.
And so let's explore that. What is this relationship?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite show that kind of stands out or a moment that happens? And it doesn't have to be the most favorite one. It doesn't have to be.
My birthday party show was crazy.
That wasn't that long ago.
2 weeks. Two shows ago, yeah.
And what did you like about that?
The whole show, we had beach balls flying at our heads.
Yeah, yeah.
We had good music.
It was his birthday.
And we have to talk about the hand-eye coordination with those coming at you.
Yeah, we had cakes, and we had the party there in studio, and so everybody was in a party kind of mode and just having a blast.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
You had something, though, one time. I think you and I had talked about it, Paul. I didn't see this one, but the, and I'm spacing out the name of it, the Mass, where all the cyclists.
Sunday Mass?
Sunday Mass, yeah.
No,
Critical Mass.
Critical Mass,
yes.
Thank you, with all the cyclists.
Well, Critical Mass happens on Fridays. Sunday Mass is the bike ride that we have every Sunday that meets at the show.
Yeah, that's the one that meets at the show.
Yes. Critical Mass,
is the second Friday.
Yes. Yeah.
But then Sunday Mass, we meet every week.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, Sunday Mass, actually, I met up with Jacob. We were on one of the first Sunday Masses, and we were going one direction, Jacob was going the other, and he said, well, come to the studio later and let's do some promos, and that's what spawned our show. We did those promos and said, you know what?
This is
next week, let's turn the cameras on and go. Let's do it. And it worked.
Ah, very cool.
But Sunday, going back to Sunday Mass, we ride every Sunday, and every now and then we'll do something, like, especially when it was cooler, we were doing a charity where everyone would bring a supply or something like that, and one time, Jacob and I actually took the supplies that everyone brought and delivered them and filmed us bringing them to the
Joseph's Diner.
Oh, very nice.
St. Joseph's Diner that time.
It's a great, I mean, that's what I say. And, you know, you guys, you cut up and you're funny and all that, you know, which is fabulous
and
entertaining.
Thank you. Sometimes.
But there's also, but you get that whole sense of community out of your show. You know, like what you're talking about right now, what a great awareness for people that might not know about, you know, St. Joseph's Diner or don't know about the Critical Mass or the Sunday Mass, and trying to create this awareness of, you know, bikes need some space.
That's
around
right.
Here.
Yeah, 1 week we did some veteran reach out. We actually rode with some veterans and
went to that. That was when we went to the veterans shelter that time,
right.
Brought them some supplies.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when you go, they'll tell you things. What they actually need are just things like bleach and stuff that you wouldn't think
of.
Laundry detergent.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because we're kind of shooting from a place where, like Machiavelli said, philanthropy is the gateway to power. So. While we're poised, while we're being kind.
You read a lot?
I don't read, no. I have a...
You have like audio stuff that you're getting all these things from?
Yes, I actually am being fed.
I'm like, oh my God, I better pay attention. He's talking about Machiavelli.
Well, you know, The Prince was actually written as a joke, but anyway. The point is that we can help the community in a limited way with the show, and I think the greater thing is that we can meet other people that also have the same idea.
That's right.
And so,
I mean, you're very, because the thing that I love about it, and I mean, I'm quite a bit older than you guys, but it's, you're very connected into the young folks that are out there right now, like this younger generation, and by that I mean 20s.
I hope so, because I wish to emulate them and be like them. I want to be a young person.
Well, you are. As far as I know, you're in that. But
when I grow up, I want to be a young person.
No, but I mean, but you guys are a different generation than I am.
The millennials.
But you're very connected to that, or a couple of generations there. And I think bringing out some things that that generation or generations are interested in. I mean, that's the part when I really see that sense of community there.
Yes.
And it's fun seeing that younger generation and being interested and being passionate about, you know, what's happening in the community. And
I think one of the things that the show allows us to do is we aren't going to be controversial, which means by the very nature of our political system, we can't bring up, you know, candidates or politics of that way. So all we can do to connect is talk about our issues, the things that are actually important, the things that were we trending more towards justice we might be talking about on a national scale.
Yeah.
But you got to do it, you know, person to person.
That's right. Now, do you get calls from friends saying, hey, you guys, why don't you do this on the show? Why don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, and we actually get calls from people who want to be on the show that they're... We keep a book because, I mean, we're backed up. It's
a lot of
people want to be. I imagine we're going to get a few more calls now after this
appearance.
And it's open to, you know, like we said, whatever. If somebody wants to come read poetry.
Yes. We started with a half-hour show, and two shows later we realized that's not going to cut it.
Yeah,
very We talk a lot.
But it's not just you guys talking a lot. I mean, you do, but, you know, there's a lot that goes on into that.
Luckily, there's other stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We'll let you say that. But then talking about some of music plays an important part in your show. You know, you have a lot of musicians on.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that you've done recently, too, is that you did a music video for Michael Juan Nunez for his new CD that he put out.
That was fun.
Great
now,
CD. How did that come about?
Well, he's a friend of Paul's, and he came on the show, I think it was our eighth or ninth show. He was one of the first really known names to legitimize us. little
thank
did
you,
he
Michael.
Know.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And after the show, he said, hey, you know, it was just kind of cast off, you know, hey, we need to shoot a music video. What do y'all think? And we were just flattered that he even referred to us working on something like that with him. So we jumped on it, and we came up with some ideas. And
luckily, he kind of had an idea. The Roller Girls were actually on our show at that.
That's right.
Now this is
it was so organic. Like
okay,
that.
Let's back up because it's for Trainwreck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my little Trainwreck.
Yeah, for
the title
off his new CD, and you can go to his website and you can see that video. So now let's go back. So, because the Roller Girls are in this video.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So they were on the show.
They were on the show. That's how Michael Juan met them. And I guess he just right then thought, what if, you know, we had this chaotic scene where, you know, the Roller Derby Girls are crashing into each other. And
this is the Acadiana.
The Acadiana Roller Girls.
Okay.
Yes.
And so he brought us, pitched us that idea. And we went to one of their bouts. And then we went to the skate zone where they practice. And that was kind of neat because I was able to light that room the way I wanted to, and get the right effects out of it. So,
I want to ask you this now. So, my recollection of roller derby, though, is because that's a regular public skate place too, where you can just go roller skating like around in a circle, right?
Skate zone.
So, but I thought that roller derby was dipped. You know, like the floor.
This is a flat, I think they call it flat track.
Oh, like they do for, okay.
It's
a
different thing.
Exactly. They still race around the island. And
but it's called
the same
flat.
Rules apply, but they don't have that.
Yes.
Like they would with ice skating where they do the flat track.
Right.
Or whatever
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So you went out there and checked them out?
We did some filming at their actual, I think they call it a bout.
That was at the bout.
Yeah. And then.
But that's I didn't know that, that's what they call a.
Oh, yeah. Those girls, they can.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they run into each other. It's not playing.
Oh, they don't play.
They crave injury.
All right.
So we shot some scenes at their practice, and then we did some stuff at the railroad tracks.
I'm sure everyone knows the parking garage.
Right, the top of the parking garage at 6 in the morning.
Oh, that's where you're at. You're at the top of the park. Okay, that's where that was. Okay.
If that's illegal, that wasn't us.
Yeah, that wasn't you guys. That was Michael Juan.
We weren't there.
How long did that take to shoot that video?
A few days. A
couple days.
Yeah,
I mean,
we got most of our shots within about 55, 60 hours, 2.5 days.
Okay.
Once we started getting the shots, we had been storyboarding, you know, talking about what exactly we're going to do. But
yeah.
And then, of course, the editing.
Yes. Well, yeah. And then the editing was put off.
And you guys did all of that?
No. That's Brandon McLeod. That's
Brandon
the guy
did that.
Yes.
Oh, that's who played the guitar on your song? That's
previous song, yeah, and a couple of other songs with me. He also edited Cutter Mantooth. So,
there's
only our go-to five people in this universe.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. But they weren't all with you back when you were 15.
No.
So that's the nice thing about it, Paul, that, you know, you may still have found everything you wanted to do at 15, but you found other people to do it with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good. Okay.
I'm always a friend gatherer. If I find somebody that takes something, hang out.
That's my purpose in life. I'm a friend gatherer. That's good. So you pulled him in to edit it. And what was Michael's role? Was he there while you guys were editing and doing all that?
He kind of just turned it over to us.
He let you do it. That's cool.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we had finished shooting, we were talking about what we were going to do, if he was going to handle it, and it was up in the air, and it turned out the way it did, and I think it turned out well.
It's a good video.
It's a great song, I think it's a catchy little video.
Oh, yeah, and it's so, the shots are just, like, the three of them are standing there, the three, you know, he and Chad and I'm sorry for forgetting the drummer's name. Chief. Yeah.
Clint.
It's so... It's just clear. It's like this clear shot with the three of them there. And then you get that in the background, though.
Yes.
Because it's not, that's kind of a little, not out of focus. I'm not using the right words, but.
Depth of field, out of focus, with the stuff. Yeah.
It's a testament to Brandon's skill, though, with, you know, After Effects and that sort of thing, because one of our cameras from the parking garage, our neutral density filter, the thing that, you know, it was really bright that morning, and the shots were washed out to a degree, and so he just kind of grained it up and made it. He just added those shots at the right time, and it really...
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
What Jacob means is we meant to make it look like that.
Exactly. Yeah. More of that art.
It turned out exactly what we were going for. let's listen. We're going to listen to that cut by Michael Juan Nunez, and this is from his new CD, My Little Trainwreck. Trainwreck.
Drama queen. Everybody gets them once in a while, but not as consistently. Some situations always in the same, me to blame. Even when I had no clue, would not in the flame. Trying to keep up with you. Just when it looks like the end of the line, somehow we pull it through. Good intentions seldom work out right, but baby, I'm here till the end. Even when I'm tired to the rail and the lights round the bend. I love my
That was My Little Train Wreck, Michael Juan Nunez and the American Electric, who are not our guests on this in the studio today. However, we have the next best thing are the two guys who worked on that music video, and that's Jacob White and Paul Burriette, that also have the show Jacob and Paul Off the Wall on AOC Community Media. But a good guy to work with.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a very, very talented.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the big head. You know, he...
Yeah.
He's not trying to boss you around.
But that helps.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You know, when you're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Google's 20% time. A lot of corporations are following suit. Their creative employees, 20% of your time you just spend working on your own projects.
And so let's talk about how you retain information, Jacob. You retain information, huh?
I retain the ability to...
to spit it back
babble,
out.
Yes. I can babble, and I can orchestrate my babble in a way that seems coherent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wow, here he's got a fact for this now. I want to write that down. Google says 20% of the time. Now, for the two of you, do you have other individual projects that are coming up or projects together besides the 3 minute? And we talked about that.
It's funny you say that. I didn't even think about it, but... my father, Richard White, wrote a book.
Now, where did you grow up? I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt.
I was born in Belton, Missouri, at the outskirts of Kansas City, and I moved to Lake Charles when I was 9. In fact, I just recently quipped, I was born in Belton, raised in Lake Charles, aged in Lafayette. I moved here 4 or 5 years ago.
And aged. Okay, that's a good thing. All right.
But, my dad wrote a book called Alpha. It may be a working title, but we're... It's kind of a sci-fi. I don't even want
now,
to give away too much because
before?
It's kind of an. Yes, he's actually written a bit, but he's never been published in a way that satisfied him.
Okay.
And so this is.
He writes novels, or he also writes.
Yes, he also writes briefs and motions and.
Okay, got it.
Amicus.
Yeah. Sure.
But he's.
That fills in a little piece of me now for who you are. Okay.
Just wait. 10 years down the line, you'll have the puzzle completed.
That's right.
But he's getting away from law, and we've been working on this now for about a year and a half, and I've edited that one. I've actually just finished editing the second book in this little series, and it looks like a friend of ours is helping us out, and we may get it published here
cool.
in the next few months. So
now, have you've worked on editing written pieces before?
Well,
I guess for scripts or things?
Yes, I've edited some scripts. I've edited some friends, you know, short stories. I've edited a lot of. I've had people, friends of mine, that send me their when they have, you know, like a weekly columns. I've had a few friends in town that, you know, will send me that sort of thing to edit.
Yeah.
Just copy editing, but that's what I really like, is to edit either someone else's poetry or someone else's, you know, prose is. I like it. It's better than editing my own because, you know, I know it's, I can finish it. You know, you can never finish your own work.
So, but you write.
Yes.
Ah. So what do you like to write? What?
Poetry, but that's not going to, you know, do anything. So I'd rather write a...
But can you still, without, you mean it's not going to do anything in terms of, like, making money or...
Yes, well, of course. Yeah, you don't want to look at, you know, that sort of thing as what you're going to do to make money because then you won't make money doing it.
Yeah, but
if
I mean...
If you want to make money at it, don't think about it.
But do you do some of that, though, just to relax?
Oh, well, that's, yeah, that's how it all started. I mean, okay. most of my formative time has been just scribbling, doodling, or you know, writing,
yeah,
just penning. But I think it's I think it's constructive just for a self. You know,
it is.
We don't have as much alone time. We're so often, you know, the text will go off, or you know, you very rarely have, unless you self impose it, that one-on-one time with yourself.
So when you write, what do you write on?
Well, now I write on computer.
You do?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, I went there. I type really, really fast.
Well,
now,
you know, see, I'm always curious about, but how about with poetry too?
Well, no. Poetry usually is in my head, and yeah, then sometimes if I have to, I'll write it down on paper, but usually the first thing that it goes in is my phone or a computer. But it's
like songwriters will talk about now doing, where they, so they don't forget.
Yes.
You go into your memo, your voice,
yes,
memo thing.
Yes. But I still lose stuff all the time, and that's for the best.
It's gone. I mean, I still have this like whole romantic vision of people with poetry that I just want them all to be with a piece of paper.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And a pencil or pen.
De Valerie, a poem is never finished, it is abandoned.
Wait, now are you quoting somebody again?
Yes, De Valerie.
Now, who is that?
A French critic of the 1940s. It's not important.
But it is to me because I don't know who it is.
Yeah, he was just a critic of letters.
Ah, okay.
That's the only thing he offered us, was that one quote.
Does he do... He could just do a whole show on that, Paul.
There's a part,
that's,
yeah,
what I'm suggesting.
There's
just
a part of every show that I look over at him and, like, what did you just... What? What did that mean?
What was that? I get it, man. I understand that.
It's awesome. I like it.
So, but that's cool about your dad, though. That's,
oh,
neat.
Yes, yes.
That's a nice project to work
we're,
on
we're
for
really
a father.
We're really excited. And it's... If it never goes anywhere, I'll be disappointed because it's a... amazing idea to me, but I think in a few years there will be copycat ideas. It's just one of those good little sci-fi ideas that,
yeah,
I think will catch on.
All right, and
I don't want to say
we don't want to talk about
it.
I know, because we want you to make some money on this. Pass it down. How about you, Paul? You have some projects coming up?
Nothing film. My recording computer in my studio just crashed, and I just got a replacement for it, so
oh, that's nice.
I'm putting that back together, and I have a couple of songs I'm co-writing with my friend Jason Jobert from Austin.
Okay.
He came and visited one morning, and we drank Irish coffee and wrote like six songs.
Now, is he from childhood, or this is a friend that you've made along the way?
Along the way. Right. Met him probably about 12, 13 years ago, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
I was in a band called, it was the beginning days of Ground Zero, and he was in a band called Hassenpfeffer. And so we played around locally and such,
yeah,
and since then, just been hanging out with him. He was in a band called 3 for 5, which I played bongos and scrub board in.
Yeah.
I was the occasional bongoist.
Now, do you sleep?
Very, very little. It's yeah.
No, and I'm being serious.
Me too.
You do sleep little. How about you?
I think that's where we found it, the reciprocal curve. I sleep,
yeah,
all the time.
Oh, and you do?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually, both times we've gone to break, I've slept.
You're very good at covering that up. You've learned how to.
Yeah, I have eyelid tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm curious about for people like you that have umpteen creative things going on, is it hard to fall asleep?
No.
I mean,
no. I go to bed late usually.
Yeah.
And
your mind shuts down. You're able to shut down.
Yeah, the whiskey helps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what does it.
But no, I go to bed fairly late. I mean, last night I was taking apart two bicycles and, you know, working on all kinds of, I'm working on painting bikes right now, and just since I can't record anything yet.
Do you ever lay on the couch?
I really do take a nap every now and then, a little power nap sometimes, 10, 15 minutes, and I can get going with the day again.
She means she means the shrink's couch.
Oh, yeah. All the time then.
Yeah, but I mean, because you seem like somebody who just goes.
Yeah, I kind of do. I have so many things going on at one time. It's craziness, but it's hectic, but it's fun. It's like what I like to do. It keeps me energized and creating and.
It's what gets that energy for the show that comes off in the show.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's talk about and this people have to check out the show because let's talk about the look, Paul, which is a different look than what you're sporting today.
Yeah.
You tend to wear your hat and your jacket. And
a bowler or a derby. Or
that's what it's called. That's the kind of hat it is.
Fedora.
Yeah. Are you into hats?
Yeah, actually. I used to wear caps a lot and had a big old cap collection and such. But now I've pared it down to where I have my favorite set of hats. But
yeah. It's a good look.
Thanks.
It picks up the goatee there that you have going on.
It makes me look all artsy and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very artsy look. Now, Jacob, you pretty much look how you do today, I think, on the show. Do you?
I hope I do. If not, would you tell me?
Yeah. Sporting the... I mean, you just kind of look how you do today.
T-shirt and slippers kind of guy.
Yeah, which is fine. T-shirt
slippers,
and jeans, whatever
comes.
It is.
Okay,
yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So that all works. You know, the one thing we haven't told people is when they can catch this show. And again, that's for people that are in this area through LUS. It's channel 3 or 4.
Yes. And on Cox Communications in the parish, it's 15 or sometimes 16. Those are the two AOC channels. But we actually broadcast into the 5 parish area. And I'm not sure what the designations of the channel are, but because they're peg channels, so they might be holding local council and that sort of thing. But we get into 5 parishes, and then we're on Ustream.
Yeah, check it out. You can just search, as I did, search for Jacob and Paul Off the Wall Ustream, and a bunch of the episodes come up.
Actually, a few of them have some views.
You had 35, you had 100 and something on one.
And that's
an
hour-long show, so you have to...
No, but I mean, your numbers kept increasing. No, I mean, you know, your numbers
I'm amazed at it. I think people just said it. And then walk away.
We always say
minimize it and mute it. You know, just
that's right. Yeah.
We tell our guests not to be nervous, but they're going to literally be in front of tens of people.
they're going to be in front of tens of people. Well, I really want to thank you guys for coming on today.
Thank you.
Again, it's Jacob White and Paul Burette, and that's Jacob and Paul Off the Wall. Catch it on AOC Community Media, and that's Sundays, 4:30 to 5:30. Catch it on Ustream. Also, we're going to go out listening to a friend of yours, Jenny O.
Not a friend, just somebody I was turned on to.
Somebody you really like. Yep. Like her music.
Really.
All right, everybody have a good week. This is Jenny O.
You are my lover and I do like you. But what's the limit? Tell me what to do, I'm not your kind. And you're not mine. Oh, sugar, I'm too young for you. Not like my number, but in everything I do, I am a child. You have a child. Early, I do anything I can, but I can't fake it while you go and meet the man and make some far takes